You might have noticed something about my apparel today, that I'm wearing a tie with a star on it. So I hope you noticed that. That's a star there. And yeah, it's just a NASA Sunday. NASA's my NASA pastor hat. I encourage Trevor to wear his NASA shirt today. He's got that on back there. I'll explain. So you might know what NASA stands for. There's actually a Hebrew word. Well, there's not a Hebrew word NASA, but there's a Hebrew word that sounds like NASA, and it means to lift or carry or rise, which is kind of fitting, kind of cool. I like that. I won't keep it on the whole time in case some of you are like, you shouldn't be wearing a head covering in church, Pastor, right? So just for starters. We sang the song We Three Kings. And as I was a kid growing up around Advent time, we had our Advent wreath out with the four candles. And in the middle on the table was a music box that would rotate and play Away in a Manger. We'd have devotions during Advent. And if there was a request or if somebody asked, you know, what song, what Christmas song should we sing? If it was my dad's turn to pick, 90%, maybe almost all the time, he'd pick We Three Kings. That was his favorite song. So partly because of that, I like that song a lot too. And then the song itself, I just like it. We Three Kings of Orient are. It's based on the passage we're going to look at here this morning in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Before we get to that, the first chapter of Matthew, which is the first chapter of the New Testament, begins with the genealogy, the human genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And in that genealogy, which is, you know, father to son, all throughout, pretty much, there are actually four women mentioned fairly early on, and all four of these women are Gentiles, meaning they're not Jewish. In this lineage of the king of the Jews, we have four women who are Gentiles. By name, they're Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba's name isn't in there, but it says Solomon, whose mother was formerly Uriah's wife. That's Bathsheba, so she's in there. Now, we get into chapter 2 of Matthew, and we find right up front three Gentile Magi, three Gentiles on this quest, on this journey to come and find and worship he who was born king of the Jews. Now, I could put three in quotation marks, three. We'll get to that later. We're not exactly sure. But these three Magi who came in order to worship and honor Jesus. As we look through Matthew 2, 1 through 12, we're going to focus on three things we'll read about. The star, the magi, these men themselves who traveled, and their worship. All right? Well, let's get to this. I'll take this off for now. Put it this way. NASA. There we go. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Oh, oh, star of wonder, star of night. How many of you, this past Monday, winter solstice, went out an hour or later after sunset and looked for the Bethlehem star? I see one hand, I see two hands, I see three hands. Did you find it? Oh, what? It was cloudy Monday night. So yeah, you heard about it. Most of you, maybe all of you, you know this reference to the appearing, and some were calling it the Bethlehem star, which appeared Monday night. It was the great conjunction, of course, of the planets Pluto and Neptune. Just seeing if you're awake. What? Pluto? Could you see Pluto? No, okay. Which two planets were they? Thank you. Okay, so the two planets in conjunction, Saturn and Jupiter. Now, here's some interesting stuff about these two planets. Of course, we know they're not stars, but you go back 2,000 years and beyond, and any light in the sky, they'd reference probably as a star, a bright light. And these were bigger and brighter, and especially, okay. So Jupiter, biggest planet, can be big in the night sky, and that's named for the Roman mythological god Jupiter, who is the chief of the Roman mythological gods, and also the god of light, sky, weather, and order of things. It has been referenced at times as, Jupiter has, the king star, okay, the king. Saturn, named after the Roman god in mythology of wealth and agriculture. Yesterday was Saturday, which is named after Saturn or Saturn's day. And in the Jewish calendar, Saturday is the seventh day, well, it's ours too, it's the seventh day of the week, but for Jews that is the Sabbath. And Saturn has been referenced by some at times as the Sabbath star. So that's kind of cool, the king star and the Sabbath star in conjunction. It's like, Now, there were conjunctions, you know, early B.C., like 5, 6 B.C. of those planets. There were some comets at that time. There were some novas or supernovas, exploding stars around, you know, near the time of Jesus' birth. But I have to ask you, do you really think that the star that the Magi followed that led them to eventually to Jesus, do you think that was two planets in conjunction or a supernova or a comet? Ask you the question. When I think, let me look at Matthew 2 again here, these verses that reference it. So the Magi, they come to King Herod in Jerusalem and they say, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And later it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And it goes on. I don't know if you think two planets in conjunction doing all that. As I pondered this, what came to my mind was first, who did this star lead them to? Jesus, the Son of God. Now, in Colossians 1:16, it says this about Jesus, okay, about the Son of God. It says, For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. They come to see the one who even created the stars, all things through him. And when I ponder this, what eventually came to my mind was this line that the magicians back in Exodus chapter 8 said to Pharaoh after the third plague. You're like, what in the world? Where does this come from? This is what they said, and the third plague was the plague of gnats. Okay? Pharaoh's magicians came to him, and this is what they said: "This is the finger of God." They could not replicate, duplicate, figure out how this plague of gnats was occurring. All they could say was, "This is the finger of God." Think about this. Think about the finger of God. Psalm 8, verse 3 says, When I consider your heavens, O Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Isaiah 40, verse 26 says, lift up, you know, nasa, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Isn't that awesome? God calls forth the stars. He created the stars. He, with the work of his fingers, set them all in place, and he calls them each by name. He knows exactly how many there are in the entire universe. He created them by name. Now, this Bethlehem star, the real one 2,000 years ago, this was a special, unique star with a special, unique purpose. This is my own term, but this week I've started to call it the finger star. The finger of God. I don't know if God has a favorite star, but I think this might be it. I mean, his own son, whom he loves, whom he gave to the world because he loves us, because he loves the world so much that he gave his only son, and here to call and lead these magi, these men far to travel. Two planets? No. God put this star, led them, and then led them, and then pointed and showed. And when it came to the place, we're going to get to this again, but you know, sometimes, like on the tie, this star has these long extended rays of light, right? And I picture that, because how could the star point them directly to one house in Bethlehem? But I see this beam. And again, I see God's finger. There it is, pointing right to the place. Back in Exodus, again, I thought of the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. This was God's presence, God's finger, if you will, leading his people, leading them to where he wanted them to go. Here God had the star leading the Magi to where he wanted them to go. Notice, where did he lead them first? Not to Bethlehem yet, but first to, boy, we're half asleep, Jerusalem, right? Now, eventually, the point was to get them to Bethlehem, but they came to Jerusalem following the star. Why Jerusalem first? Here's what Matthew 2, picking up at verse 3, it says. When King Herod heard this from the Magi, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. King Herod called together all the chief priests, teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you, out of Bethlehem, will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's in quotation marks. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that would be the teachers of God's word, the Old Testament. They're quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2. God led these Gentile men, the Magi, to Jerusalem so that they there could hear God. His word. God still does this today. He uses what we might call natural phenomena, but it's all God's work in creation, general revelation, to draw people to his word, which points people to Jesus. And they needed to hear the word of God, which would direct them then to Bethlehem, to the right place, in order to find whom they were seeking, which is Jesus Christ. God still does this today. That's pretty awesome. The Greek word for star right here is aster. We use that word. We have that word. It's the name of a flower. Part of the daisy family, has a round center, right, from which radiates the petals so that it looks like an aster, a star. That's the Greek word for star. A few more words here are words, but we get them from Greek. First one is astronomy. Astro, which is astral, and nomos, which actually means law. These teachers of the law, they were teachers of the nomos of God. So we have astral nomos, astronomy, which means the laws. These are the study of the properties, the laws regarding the stars, their movements, you know, the physics of it. That's astronomy. Then we have astrology. Astral, again, relating to the stars. And we see that logi ending a lot, biology, geology, you name it, theology, which that logi means study of, but it comes from the Greek word logos, which literally means word. So astrology is the word of the stars, literally. Astrology, initially the study of the stars, and as astronomy regarding their law and the properties, astrology, the message of the stars based on their movements. And 2,000 years ago and beyond, these two, what we'd call, well, we'd call one science today and the other maybe not today, but they were combined. So the Magi would study all of that. And then they'd say, astrologically, what is this message that the movements of the stars are telling us about our own lives? You can see how that connects to kind of the branch off of astrology today with horoscopes and the zodiac signs and all that. But it started off as really looking at what's the communication, the message of the stars. Listen to Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. This psalm has grown, and it's one of my favorites. The first verse of Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Here's his fingers at work again. It says, "Day after day they," the heavens, the skies, "pour forth speech," logos, words, messages. "Night after night," here's the stars, "they reveal knowledge." It's all pointing to God, the Creator. So again, ancient astrology and astronomy were combined back then. "We saw his star," they said, "his star." There is a prophecy in Numbers 24, verse 17, that says a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter ruling will rise out of Israel. This brings us to our star scholars for today, the Magi. Star scholars. It's my new term for them as well. In the song, "We Three Kings," this begins, "We three kings of Orient are." Why do you suppose we sing, "We three kings"? Going to come back to the three again in a bit. Going to go first to the kings. Were they kings? Were these, we'll stick with three for now. Were they kings? Well, the Greek word in the text is magi. And in the NIV, it's taken straight from the Greek, and we read it the same there. The Magi came, and the Greek word for king is basileus. It's not king, it's Magi. Well, you might say, well, kings just sounds better for the song, for one thing. I mean, "We three Magi," it doesn't have the flow. "We three kings," I mean, it works. Actually, Larry shared with us a prophecy. So the people who have studied this and connected and said, well, we think they were kings because Psalm 72. Larry read this. I'm going to repeat here the NIV of verses 10 and 11, which says, think about this. "May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him." What does that sound like? "May the kings," there it is, and this is kings here, "of Sheba and Saba present him gifts." Sounds like it, right? "May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him." Kings, there, definitely. And yet we come back to the Greek text and it's definitely not kings. It's definitely magi. Magi were astrologers. They were astronomers. And it's actually where we get the word magic. And magician, it's from this word magi. It's like, well, now, again, we say magic and magician, we think of someone who's creating, performing illusions as entertainment, and that's about it. I mean, what does that have to do with what we read here? We need to go back again. First, I referenced Exodus 8. Pharaoh in his court had these magicians, if I can say it, and he summoned them during the plagues. And they're the ones, the magicians, are the ones who said, "This is the finger of God." So magicians were wise men, and they were ones who studied not only the stars, but other phenomena. Again, we have to go back 2,000 and then beyond years where they didn't understand a lot of things. They didn't see planets and stars. They just saw stars. And there were things that occurred in nature that we understand scientifically more today that they would summon magicians who would study and learn and be able to help their king or pharaoh understand. And when it came to the gnats, they couldn't comprehend it themselves, and they had no explanation because it was God. So magicians were wise men. They were ones who studied nature and creation and things and were able to explain it and help others understand. One, I'll use this term, magician who we know is Daniel in the Old Testament. Here's Daniel chapter 2, 48. It says, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He, that is the king, made Daniel ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men." So Daniel, by King Nebuchadnezzar, was placed kind of as the wise man of the wise men in Babylon, which is interesting. Later, also in Daniel chapter 5, now we come to Nebuchadnezzar's son, King Belshazzar, his wife, the queen. Belshazzar is troubled by things he does not understand. He doesn't really know who Daniel is, but his queen comes to him and says, "There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him." That's what she says. "In the time of your father, Nebuchadnezzar, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners." Daniel was like the magi of the magi, the wise man of the wise men, and also put in this position. He wasn't king himself, but he had been appointed at a very high level to rule over Babylon. Come back to that, I think, a bit here too. Let's look at the we three kings, right? The true answer is we're not exactly sure how many. But again, in the song, three, first of all, sounds way better than 17, right? We 17 magi, I mean, it just doesn't work. I know some of you are already saying, "Pastor, three gifts means three kings, right?" Well, technically, there are three types of gifts, not just three singular gifts. But there is some biblical background to also the three. And I actually already read it, and Larry actually already read it. I'm going to go back to Psalm 72 one more time. This time you focus on that number. Psalm 72, verse 10. "May the kings of Tarshish," listen to how many places are mentioned, right? "Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Saba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him." They're like, that's where we get the kings. That's where we get how many places? Three. Three places, three kings. There's biblical background, right? There it is, which is kind of cool. But the magi, these astrologers, kind of scientists, wise men, they were wise men. The King James calls them wise men, and they were. They also were placed in those high positions within a king's court. So they would represent on this journey their kings. From Tarshish, Sheba, Saba, perhaps. They were representing their king, like ambassadors. So when they showed up, it's as if in their minds and in that mission, the king himself were coming. It all kind of works, just in ways that we don't think the same way so much today. And again, there were three gifts or types of gifts mentioned: gold and frankincense and myrrh. These men, these magi, wise men, magi, representatives of their kings, they come, and in the whole Bible, in the whole text, we have from them one statement and one question, put in the other order. It's in verse 2 of Matthew 2. They asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" And then they say, "We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Their worship. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. You know, it's interesting, it's even kind of fun to dive in, to delve in and look at some of these background details. But you know, it can also become distracting. Think of these men, three or more, but think of their hearts. These men, these magi, on a mission, a quest. So when they finally found him, the star and the child, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. In the NIV, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And then on coming to the house, they saw the child. In the Greek, if you were to break out each word individually, it's not only seeing the star, it's really what was their whole quest, their whole mission was to find the one who has been born, King of the Jews. And we picture the star stopping. The star was moving, and now it stopped over Bethlehem and pointed them specifically to one house where Mary and the child Jesus were. And it's not just when they saw the star, but now they see that direction. Now they see the child. There's a connection here. And the Greek, each word would be, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And the word joy is joy, gladness, cheerfulness, calm delight. But here's what's interesting too. It's not just an emotion or a response like, oh, we feel joy now. The word itself is connected to the source of joy. So when they see Jesus, who is the source of all true joy, it's like you're connected into the power outlet, the source of power, and his joy now connects to them, and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy upon finding him. This is so pure, this power surge. And what they, the Magi, do next is what they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait for this moment to do. Have you ever been to a performance of or some event where you had to, at some point, stand up and applaud and cheer? You couldn't almost contain yourself or say, bravo, and cheer and yell and clap and stand up. They could not wait for this. And it says simply, they bowed down and worshiped him. I imagine that they wanted to stay this way forever. You know, this is what we came for. This is what we were made for. This is what we were created for, to do this. And that is all of us. God created us in his image. He sent his son so that we might find him, know him, bow down, and worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior. We will know that. We will know that joy one day. We get sense of it now. We will know it when we're there around the throne. But they didn't stay that way. They had also brought these gifts, these treasures. They opened their treasures. This is awesome too, though. And they presented him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. And then it was time for them to go. And I am sure, just as the shepherds had returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, which was just as the Lord had told them, so these magi, these wise men, these representatives of nations and of kings, returned to their home countries, glorifying and praising God for the child, their king, whom they had seen and worshipped. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, peals through the earth and skies. You can join me. Oh, oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Amen.